Hello and welcome to another episode of GBB Live. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you once again. Here we are, mid-September. College football season is certainly upon us, obviously, recording this during the Tennessee-Florida game, which I'll be honest with you, there's a reason why I'm recording this during the Tennessee-Florida game, as obviously it's not a lot of fun to witness right now. But hey, the Memphis Tigers are doing quite well to start the season, but that's the crazy thing about it. The last time that we did a GBB Live, it was the 1st of August, and the great thing about it is that since then, I've actually become a father. That's the reason why there's been several weeks between the last episode of GBB Live and this one, is that me and my wife welcomed our first child into the world, a baby boy. Everybody is doing quite well. It's been awesome to get to experience fatherhood for the first time, and we're starting to get into a little bit of a routine. If you're a parent and you're listening to the show, I certainly get it now. I'm not going to say I have all the experience in the world, because obviously I don't. But definitely the greatest but toughest responsibility that you'll ever have in a lifetime. But it's good to be back in a bit of a routine, and that means the opportunity to get back going with GBB Live as we're getting ever so close to the 2023-2024 NBA season starting up for the Memphis Grizzlies. Obviously in that time frame that we have gone between episodes, there's been plenty that's been going on. Obviously, the biggest thing of all was the 2023 FIBA World Cup, something, you know, an event that definitely seemed like it could be a great experience for Team USA as well as Jaren Jackson Jr., but it obviously did not end that way, and unfortunately, it ended in not the best of ways for Jaren Jackson Jr. We'll discuss that, and also what could be on the horizon when it comes to several of the Grizzlies' current roster members and potentially being involved in international play in the future. I have a feeling that the Grizzlies could be well represented for many summers to come when it comes to international play with different players representing their home countries. We'll discuss that. Also, we're right in the midst of, preseason rankings, and especially when it comes to many outlets naming their top 100, 150, 101 NBA players for the upcoming season. And just, after reflecting on, where some of the Grizzlies have been placed so far this year, really want to focus on Desmond Bane. We're not going to get into, like a season preview of Desmond Bane or anything like that, but just going to set the foundation. Desmond Bane is a top 50 player in the NBA, and that's not because he can be. It's because he is entering his age 25 season. We'll discuss that. And also want to touch on, a subject that's been out there, for a few weeks now, almost a month now. When it comes to, around the city of Memphis, there's been discussion about, some financial support that's coming into the city that could, offer a big boost financially. There could be a big, source of financial support for several of the sports teams around the city. But, what comes down, what matters when it comes to how that money is distributed? Going to touch on that, as well. But of course, you can find GBB Live as well as the Next Gen podcast, Free Basketball, Grizz, the 901 Grizz podcast. So many of the great podcasts when it comes to Bluff City Media covering the Tigers, covering the Grizzlies, all the different sports teams that are in Memphis. You can find it at BluffCity.co, just at BluffCityMedia.co. Just make sure you become an insider for all the great content. But anytime that you enjoy listening to anything about Memphis sports, Bluff City Media is the place to go. Make sure you go, through that podcast network as well as the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network. Plenty of options to keep you covered. Thanks for making GBB Live a part of that rotation. So let's get right into it. The 2023 FIBA World Cup has come and gone. It started on August 25th. I know that there are several, the great thing about the Grizzlies fan base and the city of Memphis, obviously, is that it's not just about the Grizzlies. Much of Grizz Nation is just diehard basketball fanatics. We want to get as much of it as possible, and that's especially true if it involves our Grizzlies. And we saw that with the commitment that came with wanting to be able to witness the Team USA in the 2023 FIBA World Cup, as several of the games were in the early hours of the morning. I think normal starting times were like 3:30, 4:45, 7:30 in the morning, especially being on weekends. Bit easier for me because I'm going to be up at that time anyway, trying to take care of a newborn. But I know for others, it was a lot of fun being able to, get up early in the morning and see Jaren Jackson Jr. especially representing the Grizzlies as well as Team USA playing in the FIBA World Cup. But it wasn't just Jaren Jackson Jr. Though Santi Aldama with Team Spain did not make it, you know, really into, you know, the final parts of the tournament. You know, Team Spain got eliminated early, never really had the opportunity to go, you know, into winning, you know, the tournament or placing in the top three. Santi Aldama for Team Spain also was great to see as well. And he had a particularly good tournament, in my opinion, as he really emerged as a go-to option for Team Spain. Now, I'll be completely honest with you. I'm not going to have the knowledge that others do when it comes to, you know, the futures of several of the international countries, European countries, you know, African countries, you know, countries around the world. There are going to be others who are going to have far more knowledge on what the future of those national teams look like when it comes to future Olympics, future World Cups, and things such as that. But what I can tell you is that when it comes to Team Spain and the Memphis Grizzlies, there has been a link there that is now going two decades strong when it comes to Memphis Grizzlies, especially big men who play for the Memphis Grizzlies, representing Team Spain. You go from Pau Gasol to Marc Gasol, who were two of the most decorated big men to ever play in the FIBA World Cup. You know, you see some of the best performances that have happened in the FIBA World Cup since, you know, the early 2000s. A Gasol brother was responsible for many of them. But now he goes from Pau Gasol to Marc Gasol, now to Santi Aldama. And the Hernan Gomez brothers, that duo, really stood out as being the go-to options for Team Spain in the FIBA World Cup. But it was Santi Aldama who also, a lot of times off the bench, there were a lot of times where he was a big source of scoring inside. He seemed like that he was at times the most consistent source of scoring for Team Spain. A lot of their success depended on them being able to shoot the three well, but Santi provided some clutch scoring on the inside, and I believe that he averaged a little over 11 points per game, shot nearly 57% from the field, averaged a block per game as well. Santi Aldama seems to definitely be a big part of Team Spain's future moving forward, not only in terms of the FIBA World Cup setting, but also the Olympics, because when you look at Team Spain, when you look at the amount of talent that's in the NBA now, that comes from Spain versus where it was 10 or 20 years ago, there's not as much there. Like, there definitely has been, you know, a decline in the representation of NBA players that come from Spain in the NBA now compared to where it was, you know, even a decade ago. So to me, that seems to be that, you know, I'm sure that Team Spain will be stronger once the Olympics come around next year, but I also would be very surprised if Santi Aldama does not continue to play a big role for Team Spain moving forward. And it's not because of really a lack of other options. It's because of the fact that Santi Aldama truly can be a very solid contributor for Team Spain. He could be, you know, the main focal point of their front court moving forward, at least over the next couple of years. And it's really awesome to see him once again. When Team Spain needed for him to step up in a big role, he delivered just like he did multiple times last year for the Grizzlies. But when it came to the Grizzlies in the 2023 FIBA World Cup, obviously the majority of the focus, as well as it should be, was on Jaren Jackson Jr. And it was on Jaren Jackson Jr. because the way that Team USA was set up, it was going to be interesting to see how, in a kind of a different setup in the FIBA game versus the NBA, how would Jaren Jackson Jr. hold up as being the clear five, as being the clear center in the starting rotation, in the starting lineup for Team USA, but also many of their best lineups. And that's where I'll start with, you know, looking at his FIBA World Cup. In my opinion, there's little doubt that of the lineups that the Team USA played in the FIBA World Cup, and the lineups that should have been played, Jaren Jackson Jr. should have been on the court. There's no doubt about that. Especially early on in the tournament. As the tournament went on, Jaren Jackson Jr. struggled, especially when it came to rebounding, he struggled with fouls. His defense definitely was not as consistent as it, you know, many thought it would be. I think Jaren would be the first would tell you he wasn't as consistent with his defense as he wanted to be. But one thing that I definitely feel that I can say is that especially early in the tournament, Jaren Jackson Jr. played very good basketball. And there were several instances where he made an impact on the defensive end that led to a momentum-shifting moment in the game for Team USA. So overall, when it came to Jaren Jackson Jr.'s performance, a little over 8 points per game, nearly a block, nearly a steal per game. You know, he was second in terms of plus-minus after Tyrese Haliburton for Team USA. Overall, Jaren Jackson Jr. had a decent tournament. It certainly started off better than it ended. But the one thing that I'll say is this, is that there was quite a bit of negative reactions to Jaren Jackson Jr.'s performance, especially in the semifinal game that, you know, put Team USA in the third round game when they lost by 2 points to Germany. And one of the things that truly stood out was not only the lack of rebounding, but just how easily Germany was able to find points inside. Overall in the tournament, Team USA was 24th in defense among all teams in the 2023 FIBA World Cup. That's not too encouraging when it comes to the reigning NBA Defensive Player of the Year in Jaren Jackson Jr. being the anchor of the defense. That's a fair assessment, I feel. Jaren Jackson Jr. was not as good defensively, and I know that it's a different game at the FIBA level than in the NBA, but I just think in general, Jaren Jackson Jr., just for some reason, the discipline, the consistency, the overall impact that he can make as a defensive player, it just was not consistently there over the final two or three games. And I know that much of it, you know, before that game against Germany, much of it was because it was hard for him to get into a rhythm due to the foul trouble that he had run into. But yes, if there's one aspect of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s performance in the 2023 FIBA World Cup that I think is a fair point of criticism, it's that his defense was certainly not up to par as what we saw for much of last season. But I know that a lot of the negativity wasn't necessarily on the defense itself. It was the lack of rebounding, just the lack of Jaren being a true big man. But the thing that stands out to me is this, is that I know that you can go several different places with blame. Yes, part of it should go to Jaren Jackson Jr. Part of it should go to the coaching staff. But if you're critical of Jaren Jackson Jr. when it comes to his fouls, when it comes to his rebounding, the thing is that, yes, he's only 23 years old. Can he improve? Now 24. Can he improve on those things as time goes on? Sure. But there also has been plenty of proof that those are two areas of his game that are not as strong as they are a part of others' games. Of other big men. He's not as good of a rebounder. He's not as disciplined when it comes to other big men that you potentially could put in the game. Now, obviously, those big men that may be able to rebound better and foul less, they don't have the same capabilities in many other aspects of the game that Jaren does. What I'm getting at is that I'm not saying that Jaren Jackson Jr. should go without being, observed in a negative light when it comes to his play in the 2023 FIBA tournament. He definitely did not play up to the standard that I feel he would be the first to tell you he felt he should have played at. But I also think that there is clear truth to the fact that an adjustment that should have been made should have been the Team USA roster going with another big man, playing Jaren Jackson Jr. with Paolo Banchero or Bobby Portis or Walker Kessler. Probably Portis and Kessler are Portis and Banchero more than Kessler. But my point is, going with another big man that is a decent to strong rebounder that, can play physical inside as well. If Team USA had gone with another big, I definitely think that there would have been better results. Sure, you may not have had the most talented lineup out there, but when they put Jaren Jackson Jr. with another clear big, Jaren even being at the five with another clear big at the four, Team USA did well. And I think that that's something that stands out. The main point that I'm getting at is this, is that Jaren Jackson Jr. and Team USA certainly disappointed when it came to the 2023 FIBA World Cup. And if Jaren Jackson Jr. was added to this roster mainly for his defense, and that is where Team USA struggled, again, that is a fair point to make when it comes to being critical of Jackson Jr.'s performance in the World Cup. But I don't think that so much should be read into that it should take away what Jaren Jackson Jr. has done in the NBA, or it should put doubt on what he can do in the NBA. And I also think the biggest point of all, and looking back on the FIBA World Cup, I also don't think that this should mean that Jaren Jackson Jr. should not be in the conversation to be a part of future Team USAs, not just for the World Cup, but also when it comes to future Olympics. Now, next year, if you have the potential of playing, of putting Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, and Joel Embiid, for instance, on Team USA to play in the Olympics? Sure. Does it make sense for Jaren Jackson Jr. to be on that team? I don't know. You know, that would be hard to make a case for if you're putting that caliber of big man on the team. But I do definitely think that as we get 3 to 5 years and beyond into the future when it comes to Team USA, Jaren Jackson Jr. should, without a doubt, be one of the 3 to 5 big men that should be in the conversation of being a part of Team USA's front line for the next decade. His struggles and his performance in this year's FIBA World Cup should not prevent him from being considered a, you know, relevant part of that conversation moving forward. Because if the simple adjustment is putting Jaren Jackson Jr. at the four with another big in a lot of the lineups that he's used in, that means you're going to get Jaren Jackson Jr. being at his strengths, being a truly impactful defender. And make no mistake, Jaren has the ability to be the best defender in any international tournament that he's a part of. So in future international play, you put him at the four, potentially put him with another big, let him be able to anchor the defense, let him be able to find mismatches and make plays on offense down low, plus be able to offer the occasional three from the outside. That is a very, very big asset that you can utilize for Team USA. And the one thing about Team USA that to me is always going to stand out is that you're typically going to see Team USA have the deepest amount of offensive talent of any roster in the world. If you can feature Jaren Jackson Jr. in a spot where he's at his best defensively to support that offense, that's going to be a very tough combination for teams, for other nations to beat in the future. So yes, it was a disappointment to see Team USA not be able to place in the 2023 FIBA World Cup. It was disappointing to see some of the struggles that Jaren Jackson Jr. ran into in the tournament. You know, some struggles that we are more than familiar with as Grizzlies fans, but also, you know, the inconsistency of it on defense. But it shouldn't take away from the fact that, you know, he did play for a good amount of the tournament. He did play at a very good level. And in my opinion, he should continue to be a big part of the conversation when it comes to future versions of Team USA. But it's not just about Jaren being a part of future versions of Team USA. Just like when it comes to Santi Aldama being a clear part of Team Spain's future, I think that not only Jaren, but Desmond Bain, and yes, Ja Morant, they should be in the conversation as well. Now, I won't spend too much time on Ja. Without a doubt, when it comes to any member of the Grizzlies roster, Ja Morant, theoretically, should be the most clear person on the Grizzlies roster to have a case to be on future versions of Team USA. But he obviously has plenty of stuff that he's got to work back from what has occurred off the court over the past several months. But like Jaren Jackson Jr. and potentially Ja Morant, Desmond Bane should also be a clear part of the conversation to be a member of future versions of Team USA. There has been discussion in the past that, you know, potentially, I believe that Desmond Bane's father is Nigerian. Desmond Bane could have been a part of Team Nigeria in past tournaments, though he's not really had any type of international play so far in his career. But there was conversation about the fact that after the performance in the 2023 FIBA World Cup, it was, you know, released in terms of information that several of the biggest names in the NBA, including LeBron James, Steph Curry, several of the most notable veteran superstar names in the league right now, they're looking to potentially have one last run together at next year's Olympics. And that could potentially make it hard for someone like Jaren Jackson Jr. to be a part of next year's roster. But Desmond Bane was also mentioned as being part of the conversation of being on Team USA next year, and I think it makes absolute sense. When you look at how the best way for Team USA to be constructed, how that roster should be constructed, you obviously need size, you need discipline, you need to be able to have skill, but you also need the ability to shoot. That's one thing that stood out about the FIBA World Cup. There are plenty of teams, there are plenty of national teams around the world that can shoot the three consistently. But make no mistake about it, if Team USA is featuring Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, as well as a few others that can hit threes consistently, it's going to be hard to find another nation that can keep track with Team USA if it gets into a game of shooting threes. But it's also hard to deny that there's a better candidate out there to be a depth piece for Team USA in the role of a shooting specialist than Desmond Bane. Because without a doubt, he can fulfill that role supporting Steph, supporting Dame, supporting the rest of the main part of the roster. But if you need Desmond Bane to step up and play a bigger role, if you need for him to be a creator, if you need for him to not be a liability on defense, if you need for him, you know, to, you know, give you a bit of a spurt offensively, Desmond Bane can do all of that. So Desmond Bane should definitely be in the conversation of being a potential part of Team USA as well. Now, I want to keep this in context. I'm not saying that I feel strongly that there's going to be multiple Olympics in the future. I'm not saying that that Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane all are definitely going to be a part of the 2028 or 2032 Olympic teams. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that due to the different skill sets that they have, due to the strengths of the games of Jaren Jackson Jr., as well as Desmond Bane and Ja Morant, all three of those players, especially if Ja can get back on track, all three of those players should be a part of the conversation when it comes to the construction of future Team USA rosters. And as a result, that hopefully should lead to there being plenty of fun summers in the future for Grizzlies fans to enjoy when it comes to watching our favorite players representing their home countries in international play. But let's keep the spotlight on Desmond Bane for just a moment. Just like I made the case that he has, you know, plenty of reason as to why he should be given heavy consideration to potentially be a part of Team USA next summer. But I also think that as we transition to talking about where Desmond Bane stands in terms of, you know, where is he among his NBA peers, it's a fun topic to discuss because I think without a doubt, without a shadow of doubt, many around the NBA clearly know that Desmond Bane is a significant NBA talent. I think that if you were to talk to minds around the league, whether it be analysts, coaches, what have you, the way that they would talk about Desmond Bane is that he truly is a significantly talented offensive player on the perimeter. And in my opinion, I think that it would be a pretty consensus opinion that he's one of the five best shooters in the NBA. And the fact that he, you know, has evolved into that type of player, that he's, you know, had that opinion evolve about him over the past few years, that he's still at the age of 25, there's still growth as well. I think many around the NBA would back the fact that Desmond Bane has the ability to be a multiple-time All-Star, potentially has the ability to be an All-NBA type player. But where exactly does that fit in? You know, at 25 and with the type of game that he has, I think, you know, you're probably looking at Desmond Bane falling a bit short of being a true young emerging potential superstar like you see an Ant or Tyrese Halliburton be in terms of how their careers are evolving. Now, I'm not meaning that as anything negative towards Desmond Bane. I just think that that's a fair assessment of how Tyrese Halliburton as well as Anthony Edwards are stepping into their own as two of the premier up-and-coming, you know, potential superstars in the league. Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, they're on the trajectory of where Ja Morant, you know, is as a player versus kind of where Desmond Bane is. But I also think that you fall far short of truly, you know, illustrating just how valuable Desmond Bane is if you call him one of the best shooting specialists in the league, or if you call him one of the best young shooters in the league. That's not the best way to describe Desmond Bane. The pure way to describe Desmond Bane is that he is he's a top five shooter in the league who also is continuing to evolve into one of the best perimeter offensive players in the league as well. And when you look at that type of profile, when you look at what Desmond Bane has been over the past 2 years, to me, without a shadow of a doubt, you can take what Desmond Bane has done over the past 2 years and call him a top 50 player in the NBA. Now, where this is coming from, the source that, you know, this conversation is coming from is the fact that, you know, there are several top 100, top 150 NBA player lists that several outlets that cover the NBA released before the start of the season. And I know that some places are going to have Desmond Bane in the top 50, some are not. But the reason I bring this up is because I don't think there's a debate. You can debate what potential level of player as far as like a star, a potential star, Desmond Bane will be in time. But what I don't think there should be any debate on is that Desmond Bane is a top 50 player in the league. Number one, he's a top five shooter. If you look at what Desmond Bane has done over the past 2 years, when you combine both his efficiency when it comes to volume in terms of accuracy, there are a few players. You've got Steph Curry, and you have a few other players who might be on the level of Desmond Bane, but when you combine the accuracy that he has displayed, the knowledge that he's displayed when it comes to shot selection and the consistency of being able to hit threes at an elite level, Desmond Bane is a top five shooter in the league. I feel that there is more than enough data to back that up from the past 2 years. But you also look at the fact that he is continuing to evolve his offensive game. For instance, last year, there were 11 players in the league who averaged 21 or more points per game, 5 or more rebounds, 4 or more assists, and had a true shooting percentage of 60% or higher. 10 of those 11 players are, in my opinion, clear top 25 players in the league. Desmond Bane is the only other one that probably is not that, but because he's a part of that group, in my opinion, that may give him a case to be a top 50 player. And the other thing that stands out, he's not necessarily a true liability on defense. He can hold his own, but there still is room for him to improve, especially with the fact that he played last year with an injured toe that he got corrected over the summer. We've seen what Desmond Bane can do when he's truly healthy. We've seen Desmond Bane be a clear difference maker when it comes to the playoffs. Look at what he did last year, or look at what he did a couple of years ago against Minnesota. So the point that I'm getting at is that I'm not trying to make a case, I'm not trying to be Captain Obvious here. It's clear after the past 2 years that Desmond Bane is a truly talented player that has, that when you look at the best players in the NBA that have not been all-stars as of yet so far in their career, Desmond Bane is near the top of that list for anyone that covers the NBA, I feel. But for the reason of him being, you know, as good of a shooter as he is, as complete of an offensive player as he is, and that he's continuing to evolve, and at the age of 25, he still is before his prime, I think that you should easily be able to say with full confidence that Desmond Bane is a top 50 player in the NBA. And for that reason, when it comes to talking about where the Grizzlies are in terms of their roster compared to other rosters in the NBA, I think that you clearly can make the case that they should have three of the top 50 players in the NBA. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., without a doubt, are two top 30, top 35 players in the league. And I think Desmond Bane is in the top 50. The fact that the Grizzlies have been the number two seed in the West over the past 2 years, I think that shows that, yes, it's fair to say that they deserve to have three of their players, their three best players, in the top 50 in the NBA. If Marcus Smart and Steven Adams are healthy, the Grizzlies are one of the few teams in the NBA that you could easily make a case should have all five members of their starting line, of their potential starting lineup, as top 100 players in the league. So I just want to get to the point that this may be an obvious conversation. This may be me putting a spotlight on the obvious, but I just don't think that there should be much debate. Desmond Bane is a top 50 player in the NBA, and that's not because of what he could be. It's because of what he already has shown he is over the past few years, and the fact that he still has room to grow is truly exciting. And who knows, a year from now, with a special year, with John coming back, you know, better than ever, Jaren and Desmond Bane sustaining the success that they've had over the past couple of years, we could be talking about the Grizzlies having three top 40 players in the league or better this time next year. And as we wrap up this edition of GBB Live, I want to briefly touch on another, you know, very interesting topic of discussion, something that has turned into a debate at times over the past month or so, you know, especially when it comes to those that cover, you know, those that follow, those that cheer for both the Tigers and the Grizzlies, but something that, you know, touches on or, you know, potentially impacts all the different sports teams that are in Memphis. You know, in recent months, there has been, you know, made clear that, you know, in the near future, there is going to be a source of funds. There is going to be economic support coming to the city of Memphis with the particular focus of supporting several different sources of sports teams around the city. And as a matter of fact, you know, it was reported earlier this week or this past week that the proposed potential deal is that for a pool of $712 million, nearly $500 million of that would go to support the FedEx Forum, while the rest of that money, around $212 million, would go to support the Simmons Bank Liberty Bowl. And the support of much of the debate is, you know, well, hey, you know, with this, you know, economic support, with this financial support coming to support the different, you know, sources of sports in the city of Memphis, you know, what sports source should be the priority? what sports teams or team should be the priority of this financial support. And it's delved into, you know, well, what matters more to the city of Memphis, the University of Memphis and its sports teams, particularly the football program, or the Grizzlies. And I think that one thing that definitely needs to be looked at more is that it's about perspective, right? The fact is that when it comes to this financial support coming to the city of Memphis, and there being a discussion of what sports source within the city should be the priority, should be the first in line to get support from that pool of financial support, I don't think that the way to look at it is what team matters most. You know, between the University of Memphis or the Grizzlies or the Redbirds or 901 FC. That's not the right conversation to have. Now, I want to say I don't blame anyone at all about being passionate for the team that you're a fan of. If you're a fan of all of those teams, or if you're a fan of just a few of those teams, yes, you without a doubt want for your team that you cheer for, that you're passionate about, to have a priority when it comes to the potential of them getting more financial backing to make their overall impact, to make their overall likelihood of success better as time goes on. But I don't think that, you know, the sports teams themselves are where the debate lies of who should get the support among the sports teams themselves within the city. And to me, shifting from that perspective to the simple perspective of the city of Memphis, if it is getting this financial support, the city of Memphis should take this money and invest it where it's going to get the most bang for its buck. Invest it in the facility or facilities that are going to generate the most revenue for this city moving forward, and improving those facilities are going to lead to even more revenue. That's the factor that matters. That is what should be the precedent for where this financial support goes. And for that reason, I think that if 2/3 of the funds are going to the FedEx Forum and the other third basically is going to the Simmons Bank Liberty Bowl, that to me makes perfect sense. Because it's all about the frequency of utilization when it comes to the facilities. How often the city of Memphis is using a particular facility to generate revenue for the city. And without a doubt, the one facility that stands out above all others is the FedEx Forum. And it's not just about, you know, what the Grizzlies are doing. It's not just about, you know, their 41 home games a year. It's not just about, what, the 15 to 20, perhaps, home games that the Memphis Tigers play at the FedEx Forum. But it's also the dozens of concerts that come into the city each year that happen at the FedEx Forum. It's the national sporting events, such as, you know, wrestling events or, you know, national tournaments, like, you know, the AAC conference tournament or the national the NCAA tournament coming to town. The FedEx Forum is used so much more often for attractions that come to the city to generate revenue when compared to the Simmons Bank Liberty Bowl that it makes perfect sense for the majority of that financial support to go to the FedEx Forum. And I'll go as far to say is this, and this is just simple fact, the most consistent source of revenue when it comes to a sports team, the most consistent source of revenue for the city of Memphis when it comes to a sports team, that is the Grizzlies. And as a byproduct of potentially putting, you know, nearly $500 million into the FedEx Forum to upgrade that facility to potentially be a clear, great, and awesome home setting for the Grizzlies over the next 2 decades, if by doing that, you also can potentially, and I think that this will, you know, be an eventual result, if by investing in the FedEx Forum, it allows for the city of Memphis to lock in having the Grizzlies in town without question for the next 2 decades, maybe even 3 decades plus, it makes perfect sense to go this route. So without a doubt, if the money is there, if the funds are there, that both the University of Memphis and the Memphis Grizzlies, if both of those entities can be supported significantly by this financial support that's coming in, yes, both sources should benefit. But I don't think that it's about, you know, the sports teams themselves. I think it just comes down to common sense that the city of Memphis should take the majority of that financial support and invest it into the facility that's going to most consistently generate revenue for the city. And from that perspective, the FedEx Forum is definitely the setting that should be supported. Can't thank you enough for joining us here on GBB Live. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. Make sure you check out all the great content from Grizzly Bear Blues, Bluff City Media, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts when it comes to the Grizzlies, when it comes to the Memphis Tigers, when it comes to all the sports teams, 901 FC, as well as the Redbirds, the Showboats. If you love any and all Memphis sports, BluffCityMedia.co and Bluff City Media are the best places for you to get the coverage that you love and enjoy. My name's Sean Coleman. You can follow me at StatsSAC on Twitter. Until next time, we'll be back with you next week. Have a great week. Go Grizzlies. We'll talk to you again soon here on GBB Live.